From Nissan to Boeing, we revisit some of the biggest corporate scandals of 2019. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. The third most senior executive at the Japanese automaker Nissan is quitting just weeks after taking the job. The move comes days after Boeing's CEO suddenly resigned, capping off another year of headline-hitting corporate scandals. So how will companies need to adapt to survive 2020? Jose Hernandez is the author of Broken Business and runs crisis consultancy Auto Strategies.
Back then and today, Carlos Ghosn is a larger-than-life figure, and you still don't have all the facts. There's still an ongoing trial. What we know is there's just been a lot of bad governance, not just in Nissan, but also in the joint venture. And the question is, they've lost so much time and so much momentum, and now the U.S. market has started to turn on them. So the question is, will they have enough breathing space to come back from this?
Another company that's had a turbulent year is Boeing. And earlier this week, we saw its CEO, Dennis Muilenburg, ousted. Can Boeing regain the public's trust?
Boeing is only at the beginning of this long recovery process. What you're seeing now is, you know, the broad question, can we trust this leadership? Can we trust this board? Can we trust this brand to get it right? You know, so much of us depend on traveling every week. And when people, at least in emails, are saying, maybe my family won't feel safe on a Boeing again, I mean, it becomes very human and very real for all of us. So I think Boeing teaches us that there's something really fragile out there, human life, human safety, trust, and really will require new leadership, new structures, and really going above and beyond. But certainly for them, the big failure was initial crisis communication. And now it's just a matter of rebuilding that.
How long do you think that will take?
Years.
So in all the time that you've been doing this, how broken does business remain?
It's a challenging question. I mean, every business is somewhat broken at any point in time because we're very human. We make mistakes. I think what defines a business is the ability to identify those mistakes and deal with them.
And how much of the problem is down to the decades-long attitude of corporate profitability above all else?
Well, look at your pension fund. My pension fund is not looking at how great companies are in terms of how much they help society, how much they help in the local corner. They really are looking at money, funds. That's what we know how to measure. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to measure and price carbon, for example, and bring that into the balance sheet and the P&Ls of companies. But we're dealing with a world in transition right now where a lot of these things are being questioned and revisited. And it'll be an exciting new year and, well, new decade ahead, I guess, as of January 1.
Jose Hernandez, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Shares in Tokyo, Shanghai and Seoul all advanced, with the exception of Nissan, which lost as much as 3% on news of that executive resignation. Most European markets remain closed for Boxing Day, but gold rose for a fourth day to above $1,500 an ounce. Overall, it's been a banner year for precious metals, including silver, platinum and palladium. Let's head now to the Horn of Africa, which is suffering from the worst locust invasion in 70 years. The insects have already destroyed 70,000 hectares of farmland in Somalia and neighbouring Ethiopia, threatening both of their agricultural economies. The BBC's Tamsin Ford reports.
Swarms of desert locusts originated in Yemen have been invading farmland across the Horn of Africa since the beginning of July. The surge, caused by rains and intensified breeding, is threatening food supplies in both Somalia and Ethiopia, with fears they will move on to Sudan, Eritrea and Kenya. The insects can travel up to 150 kilometres a day with the wind, eating their own body weight in vegetation daily. Although Somalia averted widespread famine 2 years ago, droughts led to large-scale food insecurity, affecting more than 6 million people. Farmers already struggling say they're watching their entire crops disappear. The UN's Food and Agriculture Association says the situation is extremely serious. I'm the BBC's Tamsin Ford for Marketplace.
15 years ago today, a devastating tsunami struck Asian countries from India to Indonesia. The BBC's Pramila Krishnan in Chennai, India, reports on the impact it had on one fishing family.
The sound of waves crashing on the shore of Chennai, the south coastal city of India, disturbs young fisherman Sarandraj. 15 years ago, he was one of the fishermen who lost his large boat, which he had invested his life savings in. a 9.1 magnitude earthquake triggered a tsunami that took more than 228,000 lives. Many of them were fishermen like Saran Raj. The estimated cost of the damage to the South Asian countries, including India, Indonesia and Thailand, was just under $10 billion. Though the loss of Saran Raj's $1,300 ship might look small, it permanently squashed his dream of living a decent life without any debt.
We got a small fiberglass boat, some 40 feet long. We can't use this boat for deep sea fishing. Only if we go to deep sea fishing can we get a good catch. With this small boat, we get money only for our daily expenses.
It wasn't just physical losses suffered by his family. After the tsunami, his father suffered severe mental stress and was unable to meet the debts. The dream to build a house and buy a car is still on hold.
My boat was some 50 to 60 feet long. It was painted in red and green colors. On tsunami day, when we saw the boat, we were distressed. It pushed my father to attempt suicide.
India's government allocated $511.8 million as a relief fund for the revival of fishing and agricultural sectors. Still, many small businesses and individuals never recovered. The financial losses Saran suffered during tsunami made him decide he would be the last person in his family to go to the sea. In Chennai, I am BBC's Pramila Krishnan for Marketplace.
And finally, as many of you clear out the Christmas wrapping and leftovers, Japan says it has recycled 80,000 tons of electronic equipment for the 2020 Olympics. The process has taken 2 years and created 5,000 medals. Tweet me your recycling plans for the new year at BBC Leisure using the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Leisha Santarelli with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.